from breaking news.
What are we doing?
To breaking balls.
They all move slow now, and they all just want to play softball.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
But this is ultimately what I'm getting at.
I'm talking out my ass.
All right, well, that's good to know.
And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Our expectations are to win the World Series, you know, and we're not even close. We had a great first half. We played well for a while. If you put everything in perspective this month, we didn't play well, and we won 18 games. That's how good we are. We can get away with mistakes, but we hate making mistakes. You know, we have to clean that up and keep getting better.
You know, it is remarkable that the Red Sox won 18 games in the month of June with their starting pitching staff going to complete hell. I mean, they went to shambles for a good part of that month, and they still won 18 games. They have the best record in the American League. I believe they have the best record in baseball after the win today. I'd have to check and see how that compares to the Giants and the winning percentage. I was told there would be no math, so I'm not going to check. They've got the best record in the American League. They've been one of the best teams in baseball all year long. And Alex Cora, as you heard right there, saying the Red Sox, they believe they should contend for a World Series. And I'm paraphrasing, but you heard what he said. This is the Baseball Hour. Maz has facilitated the entire hour over to me, Matt McCarthy. Sorry about that, Boston. You can join us right now, 617-779-0985. James, you can release the hounds, as somebody would say. We can hear from the people. And this is my question to you as we start the program tonight. Do you think the Red Sox are a World Series contender? The way that Alex Cora believes they should compete for the World Series this year. Do you think that? Let me know. 617-779-0985. Here's my answer. Yes, I do. I think they are a legitimate World Series contender. Sort of. I wouldn't pick them to win the World Series. I think there are teams in the National League that are better than them. I would pick the Dodgers over them. I would pick the Padres. Let's not get silly here. Let's not get crazy. But should the Boston Red Sox in 2021 contend for the American League pennant? Yes, absolutely, 100%. The road is laying down for them, folks. It is. The division's in shambles. The Rays have lost Glasnow. They have not been the same since Spider Tech. I'll tell you that, the Tampa Bay Rays. Blue Jays haven't popped this year the way some predicted they would. And the Yankees are a complete and total dumpster fire right now. You see that game Yankees had last night. Aroldis Chapman comes in trying to get a four-run save, and he gives up a grand slam. You want to see his stats in Spider Tech, by the way. His stats over his last 13. Oh, we may have found another tack addict in baseball, and that would be Aroldis Chapman, just based on his performance over the last month or so. So the division's in shambles. I don't think the American League is all that good. Is there truly an elite team in the American League? You tell me. You think there's an elite team there? I don't see any elite teams. I don't. The Astros, they've taken it to you a little bit this year. I think, I don't love that matchup based on what I've seen, but the Red Sox could beat them. Sure. They could beat anybody in the American League, and I don't think they're all that great. I think they're certainly overachieving. They've absolutely outperformed all of their expectations, but at this point, you need to realign your expectations because they keep giving you reasons to, and that's a credit to them. What a fun season this has become. They're 51-31, which means 51-28 since I kicked them out of Boston first weekend. Boy, they have proven me wrong, and good for them. They have given us all I wanted was a baseball season. They're giving us more than that. Bravo to the Boston Red Sox. It's been awesome. And now we have reached the point. It is July 1st. Happy Canada Day. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day to those who celebrate. Manny Ramirez gets his $2 million check from the Boston Red Sox today. But here we are, July 1st. It's the 1st, right? It's not the 2nd. It is the 1st. It's Bobby Bonilla Day. Greatest day on the sports calendar. And the Red Sox are outperforming their expectations, and the path is there for them to win the American League pennant. I can't believe I'm saying that. It's wild. I never would have predicted this. I thought they'd be solid, okay, competitive, an 84-win team. They're on pace to win over 100. It's remarkable. So yes, how can you deny it at this point? They should contend for the American League pennant. They should. There are no excuses for them to not contend for the American League pennant. I said after, you know, the Yankees series this past weekend, there's no excuse for them to not be a playoff team. I'm thinking bigger than that. They absolutely must make the playoffs. They should contend for the pennant. And that gets us into Heim Bloom and how they will approach the trade deadline. We did talk a little bit about this on Felger and Maz today. In fact, we talked a lot about it. And this is going to be a fascinating question over the next 31 days as we lead up to the Major League Baseball trading deadline. Will Heim Bloom realign his expectations and change his approach? And will the Red Sox be aggressive and add at the deadline, feeling that they can win the pennant? And he better. He better. This is Boston. This is the way it works. This is not Tampa Bay. This is not a small market where you cannot afford to go out and trade for guys who maybe don't have term. Trade for guys who might walk in the offseason. 2018, the Red Sox added two guys without term. Nathan Eovaldi, impending free agent. Steve Pierce, impending free agent. Those guys helped you win a World Series title. Teams like the Red Sox can always do that. Teams like the Tampa Bay Rays cannot, because you can't let guys walk. You have to take Blake Snell a few years before he becomes a free agent, and then you have to trade him because you can't afford to be a player in free agency and all of that. It's not Tampa. This is not a small market. This is Boston, one of the great baseball markets in the country, one of the markets that still, I think, cares about the game, cares about the sport, gets invested, and the Red Sox are giving you a reason to get invested. The ratings are up. People are starting to get interested. And if Heim Bloom does not improve this team and does not act at the deadline, what a shame that will be. What a shame, because these are the Boston Red Sox. And when the Boston Red Sox have an opportunity to compete for a pennant, which they do, you must improve this team. Do you think he will? I'm not 100% sold on that. I'm just not, and it pains me to say it. I am concerned they're going to say Chris Sale is going to be their trade deadline acquisition. You cannot approach it that way. And I'm not saying that you need to go out and pillage your entire farm system. You don't need to do that. But the Red Sox added Nathan Eovaldi for nothing. They added him for Jalen Beeks. They added Steve Pierce for an infielder by the name of Santiago Espinal. They traded Jose Iglesias, who's been a big league shortstop, for Jake Peavy in 2013. Jake Peavy helped you win a title. You can make trades like that without pillaging your farm system. You know, you go back to where the Red Sox were in 2003 when Theo Epstein took over. They were a team that had underachieved for the previous few years. The farm system was in shambles, and he was tasked with improving the farm system right away. Did that ever stop Theo Epstein from going out and improving teams when they had a chance to win? It never, ever did. Did they improve the farm system in the process? Sure, absolutely they did. By 2005, 2006, they had one of the best systems in baseball. Took them 3 or 4 years, but they got there. But along the way, did you ever hear the excuse from Theo Epstein? Well, we need to think about the long term here. You can do both when you're the Boston Red Sox and you're spending $200 million on your team. The Red Sox added at the deadline in 2003. They added, or they at least subtracted and added at the deadline in 2004, because you can do that. You're the Boston Red Sox. So I don't want to hear that excuse from Heim Bloom. I don't want to hear that excuse from the Red Sox. You can improve this team while still maintaining a long-term view. You don't have to trade Tristan Casas. You should not trade Tristan Casas. But if a guy like Marquez is available with term, you want to trade a Jeter Downs? Go for it. Do it. It won't kill your farm system. It won't kill your future. So this is going to be one of the most interesting stories in this town over the next 31 days. Will Heim Bloom reset his expectations and reset his approach, knowing that this team has a chance to win the pennant? Because they do. Alex Cora said it last night. He believes it. I believe it. Do you believe it? You can let me know. 617-779-0985. We have one open phone line right now. Grab it while it's still available. Let's start with Tom and Quincy. Hey, Tom.
Maddie, what's up, baby?
What's up?
Listen, speaking about baseball, if you want to see an epic strikeout, come down to Jake and Joe's in Braintree. I just struck out on this bartender so hard, dude.
I know the feeling, Tom. I know the feeling.
I thought I had her. Listen,
if there's one person who knows about strikeouts, it's me, my man.
I thought I had the home run, and clearly not.
Yeah.
Listen, if Heim Bloom does not make a move, and say like following the whole sword with, we got Chris Sale, that's our free agent move. That is literally missing the window. And that's the biggest criticism of I have with the Celtics is like they keep missing the window when all the other top teams fall out of it. They were not expecting to be here. Mm-hmm. They have a window to get in and actually win the pennant potentially, but they got to make a move. So I want to see them go after, you know, Clayton or Scherzer. I mean, they're probably not going to get him, but like do something.
Yeah, Tom, you got to do something. And listen, I don't know if Scherzer is going to move. Kershaw definitely is not going to move. But can you go out and you add a Danny Duffy? I saw him here a couple nights ago. He's got an ERA in the mid twos. He said, you know, pretty decent pitcher throughout his career. He's an impending free agent. He has no term, so he's not going to be a long-term fit here. But can you go out and trade like the 15th prospect in your system for a guy like Danny Duffy? Because maybe he helps you win a playoff round or two, because the path has laid down before you. And, you know, you made the point and it's so true. Maybe this is a down year for the American League, a down year for the division. We all expected the Yankees to be the best team in the AL. They're a dumpster fire right now. You're overachieving. The Rays just lost their best pitcher. The Blue Jays haven't become what people thought they were going to be. The Astros aren't the team that they once were. There's an opportunity right there for a team like the Red Sox to really take advantage of that. Are they willing to look at it a little bit differently? Are they willing to not take the five-year approach? It's not like if you go out and trade for Danny Duffy and a CJ Krohn, that's going to totally destroy your farm system and you're not going to be able to compete for years as a result after that. I refuse to accept that from the Boston Red Sox. Theo Epstein did it. He traded for Scott Williamson. He traded, you know, for Dave Roberts. Hell, he actually traded the first guy he ever drafted, I believe, in Matt Merton in the Nomar Garcia-Parra trade. He traded a prospect to make that happen, to try and contend, try and compete. It didn't pillage his farm system, and he did both. You can do both. You can have a long-term view, and you can improve a team in the short term to try and win a pennant, try and win a World Series, try and win a few playoff series, what have you. The Red Sox are capable of that. If the general manager is willing to look at it just a little bit differently. This is not Tampa. This is Boston. So I know I'm probably breaking, you know, I believe it would be a Felger and Maz commandment to say don't blame a team for something they haven't done. Chaim Bloom hasn't done this yet. But when you hear some of the comments, it concerns you. And when you hear the Red Sox say, well, Chris Sale, nobody can trade for Chris Sale at the deadline. That's what Alex Cora said yesterday. It makes me worry that they're not going to improve this team. The path is there. They are a legitimate contender for the American League pennant. 100%. Tony's in Stoneham. Hey, Tony, what's going on?
Guys, I got to tell you something. You're right, but you're on the wrong side of the ball, okay?
Okay.
They need more offense because they only have five guys that are reliable.
I would agree with that.
Okay? So, and I tell you right now, Sam's going to shock the hell out of everybody when he does come back. And I would go after more offense, because and they're playing their toughest schedule the second half of the year. Mm-hmm. They've been in a cakewalk so far. You look at the record of the teams, except for Houston, and then they played the West Coast teams earlier. Except for those three teams, they've been in a cakewalk the first part of this year.
Hey, Tony, I think you're spot on about needing to add a bat. They, you know, I don't think you need to add a superstar or anything, but if you add a Steve Pierce type, corner infielder, corner outfielder, you know, can take some at-bats away from guys like Dahlbeck and give you a little bit more of a professional approach. The Red Sox do need that. They can add that. They better add that. That doesn't cost you a lot. And I'm getting my hopes up about Chris Sale, too. The way that I got the sense that you were, Tony. Oh, man, did he look good yesterday. I generally don't overreact to this type of stuff. I generally pump the brakes. Tommy John, we've seen it happen a million times before. Syndergaard just got shut down for the Mets, trying to work his way back from Tommy John. Oh, man, he looked good, though. Those videos, he looked good. His stuff looked sharp. His command looked good. It makes you realize maybe this guy is going to give you something. Maybe he's going to give you a big something. And if he does, that's fantastic. And maybe you can win the World Series, for all I know, if Chris Sale gives you that type of performance. But you can't count on it. You can't approach it that way as an organization. You must add to this pitching staff with or without Chris Sale. Because if you go out and add a veteran pitcher like a Danny Duffy Or you go out and maybe spend more in prospect capital and add Marquez from the Rockies, who's a good pitcher out there, and you get him for the next 2 or 3 years. Well, that's great. You got him long term. Maybe he helps you this year. Yeah, hopefully he adapts to Boston. But then you add Chris Sale on top of that. Now you're adding two pitchers. Oh my God, you're the best team in the American League if you do that. Chris Sale is a bonus. He cannot be what you count on. That would be foolish. He's coming back from Tommy John. As good as he looks and as excited as the Red Sox are, I think Alex Cora is a pretty pragmatic guy. Oh man, he's getting excited about Sale too. And based on those videos, I don't understand why you wouldn't. He looks good, but you can't count on it. It's Tommy John. You don't mess with it. You add the deadline because you're the Boston Red Sox. That's what the Boston Red Sox do. That's the advantage that you have. You add at the deadline. When you are in contention and when you are competing, you add. No excuses. None. 617-779-0985. We got full phone lines right now, so when somebody drops off, you know the deal. You pick up the phone and join me, Matt McCarthy, in for Tony Mazz on the Baseball Hour tonight.
Talking bases on balls.
Huge ones.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mazz on your home for Boston Sports. 98.5, the sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It is huge. As you know, today we were okay bullpen wise, but now we feel a lot better for tomorrow. That's what the good ones do. They go deep into the game. Now, he had that tough one in Kansas City, but it wasn't that tough. We just were sloppy defensively. He did an amazing job against New York today. They started putting the ball in play early. He made adjustments and he went deep into the game. You know, if I wanted to, he could have gone 9 innings there. But, you know, thinking about the group and what we need to do to get people better, we needed Matt to go there and pitch 2 innings because we need him to. But he's been amazing. I don't know where people see him as starters or all-stars or whatever, but for me, he's had a great first half, and he started the second one with the right foot.
It's Alex Cora after the game today talking about Nathan Eovaldi. Sox with a 15-1 drubbing of the Kansas City Royals. And in some ways, this start from the Red Sox, and I shouldn't say start, we're over halfway into the season, 82 games in, they got 51 wins. It's kind of beyond explanation. Like, they're just that good. Like, even when their pitching staff went to shambles, or their starting staff, the vast majority of it went to shambles for a good portion of the month of June, they still won 18 games in that month, which is just crazy. You would never think that. You're generally as good as your next day's starter and all that, like that old adage in baseball. It's so true, yet they still won 18 games. So some of it is just hard to explain. I think it's easy to explain how this team is good, but like this good, the best team in baseball, that's a little hard to explain. And you say, are they playing over their heads? Of course they are, absolutely. But Nathan Eovaldi's performance this year, that's one of the primary reasons why the Boston Red Sox have the best record in the American League. His stats, and I know he kind of had a rough start. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't awful. It wasn't spectacular. And if you believe the nerd stats, it was indicative of some bad luck. His BABIP wasn't good. And you're like, okay, all right, you know, this is going to revert back to the mean. A regression to the mean is expected here with Nathan Eovaldi. Stuff like that. Now we're looking at Nathan Eovaldi, who's tied for the, I think he's second in the American League in wins with 9. He's top 10 in ERA with a 3.41. He's been an ace. Nathan Eovaldi has been a number one pitcher for the Red Sox. Now, he's not, you know, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Don't get me wrong. But 9-4 with a 3.41 ERA, that's a top end of the rotation starter right there. That is. And that's what Nathan Eovaldi has been, particularly over his last 8 starts, a 2.27 ERA. Now, you can say, hey, McCarthy, I don't know how sustainable that is. Nate Eovaldi's been a good big league pitcher. He's obviously got a lot of talent. He's gone through some stretches where he's been really, really good. most notably 2018, where he was outstanding for this team in the playoffs and down the stretch. I mean, he was really, really good. So you know he's got talent. You know he's got ability. You know he has front end of the rotation stuff. But to put it all together in a year where the Red Sox needed him to put it together, this has been good. You hope he stays healthy. That's been one of the keys to the success for the Red Sox this year. All of their starters have stayed healthy, but Nathan Eovaldi has been really good. He's one of the reasons why the Red Sox, yes, are contenders for the American League pennant. I don't know how you can deny it at this point. Even if you think they're hitting above, punching above their weight, whatever, they're contenders for the American League pennant. Billy and Taunton, you might disagree with that slightly. Let's go. What's going on, Billy? Billy?
Here's the thing. Hey, hello. Well, you're only strong as your weakest link, and if the Red Sox, everyone thinks they're a contender, well, even if they get to the playoffs, their weakest link is Garrett Richards, and he seems to be, right now, the worst pitcher in baseball, in my opinion.
Yep.
And then there's other unknowns like Pivetta, and your best pitchers might be, other than Sale, might be Eduardo Rodriguez, and then, okay, our closer's good, and that's about it. I don't see anybody else that blows me away. So the lineup has to keep going, and if the lineup fails, I think that's where we fall apart.
Well, Billy, and that's why they need to add at the deadline. Like, they have to look at this and say, we are overachieving, but we've put ourselves in a position where if we add another big league starter, a Danny Duffy type, not great, not spectacular, but can he go out there and represent you pretty well? Sure he can. Absolutely. You go out and add this year's version of Nathan Eovaldi the way that Dave Dombrowski did in 2018 for the cost of nothing for Jalen Beeks, for the love of God. You get Nathan Eovaldi, he becomes a key contributor on that World Series team. You go out and add a big league starting pitcher, and Chris Sale maybe comes back, gives you something. Well, now we're cooking here. Now we got something. And maybe it's good enough to win your World Series. Maybe it's not. Who knows? But you're in the mix. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. This team, as presently constructed, is not going to win the World Series. It's not. But if they put themselves in a position where if they add, and if you get lucky with Chris Sale, and, you know, lucky maybe is too strong a word, but it breaks your way with Chris Sale where he comes back and he's effective and he's healthy and he doesn't break down coming back from Tommy John, you're going to need some things to break your way. I understand that. But they've put themselves in that position. And my God, what more could you ask for at this point? Brian's in the car. You're up next with Matt McCarthy in for Maz tonight on the Baseball Hour. Hey, Brian.
What's up, Matty? Hey. Before I continue, do we know when Chris Sale will be back? Are they expecting him back before the deadline?
We don't. I would anticipate it would be after the deadline. Based on what Cora said yesterday, Brian, it sounds like he could go out on a rehab assignment. Maybe a week and a half. He's going to go to Fort Myers next week. He's going to throw live BP there in extended spring training. And then they're talking about sending him out on a rehab after that. My guess is they'd probably take close to the full 30 days on the rehab assignment. He makes four or five starts. And then, so what we're probably talking about early August, right? That's just my best guess. They haven't said that.
Okay. So my only fear with your points about adding at the deadline, I do think they do need to add because just in general, right? Before the All-Star break, after the All-Star break, it really is a tale of two cities and a tale of two seasons a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the Red Sox are going to make a pace to keep doing this into 162 and beyond. But my only fear is that we have a totally new manager, right? This isn't Dombrowski, this is Chaim Bloom.
Yeah.
Big thing with Chaim Bloom is that Chaim Bloom's guys are Chaim Bloom's guys. He's not attracted by the big star types. He's not attracted by the big play. He wants to build that Tampa Bay Rays team that made it to the World Series a few years back. I don't know exactly what year it was.
Yeah, but last year.
That's his vision. That's my only fear is that he's not going to go out and get maybe that one or second guy in the rotation that you need to go deep because he truly believes that they're not overachieving, that they're exactly where they should be.
Yeah, and Brian, you know, I don't necessarily buy in on a lot of the kind of the money ball philosophies, the Tampa Bay Ray philosophies. Like, I don't buy in on that stuff. That being said, I don't think you need to add like a big star or anything to this team. I don't. In fact, Dave Dombrowski, who, you know, we all thought loved adding stars, and of course he did. He'd be the type of guy to pillage a farm system to go get Chris Sale, go get Craig Kimbrell. And, you know, Dave Dombrowski builds pretty good big league teams, got a, you know, 30-year track record of doing that. Did he add stars at the deadline in 2018? No, he didn't. In fact, we criticized him for that deadline. We said, you didn't add to this bullpen. You brought in this guy, Eovaldi. Well, I don't know, he's kind of a, you know, he's got some talent, but he's underachieved, could never stay healthy. And he added Steve Pierce, a platoon bat. Like, okay, fine addition, whatever. But Where was the big splash? Like, we criticized Dave Dombrowski for that. Those two guys ended up being absolutely critical components to the 2018 Red Sox, glue guys. So you don't need to add Max Scherzer. You don't need to do that this year. And I don't even know if he's going to get moved, but that's like the name that people are throwing around, Max Scherzer. You don't need to do that. Can you add Matt Boyd, Danny Duffy, guys like this, big league pitchers and a big league bat? And does that help you win a couple rounds in the playoffs and maybe, you know, win you a pennant, whatever, and maybe something breaks your way? Yeah, maybe it does. I just don't know if Heim Bloom's going to be willing to do that trade, because he's made comments about, well, we need to think about it, the short term and the long term. Those don't, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. Like, let's be real here. You can add veteran big league guys who are free agents without having to give up all that much. And it's not going to hurt you long term. It's what the Red Sox did with Theo Epstein in 2003, adding Scott Williamson. What did they give up for Scott Williamson? And Theo was tasked with fixing the farm system, and he was a big focus of his then, and he did it. Theo fixed the farm system in 3 years, turned it into an elite system. But he never, ever shied away from improving those 03 and 04 Red Sox teams. Never did. You know why? Because you can do it. You can improve your farm system and also trade for guys at the deadline. I hope the Red Sox realize that. I'm not sure if they do. I hope they do, though. 617-779-0985. We got two open phone lines for you, so why don't you grab them? I do want to dance on the grave of the New York Yankees again, because, oh boy, that was a lot of fun last night. And it's more proof that the Red Sox have the path for them. It's there to be taken in the American League East and maybe the American League as a whole. We'll do that next. Matt McCarthy in for Maz on the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Show where it's always a full count.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah. The Baseball Hour with Tony Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Have you seen Chapman work this slowly?
No.
I really haven't.
He obviously doesn't feel it. It has been, as you say, a week. And no, he doesn't feel it at all. Well, bases loaded with only one out. Jared Walsh is the tying run.
First 18 games. In his 31 games, he's been no ERA. Last 13, ERA of 6.55. You know what the difference is, John? He's, before today, 12 walks and 13 strikeouts. That is not what you expect out of Chapman.
Yeah, just about any other closer. The 1-0. Swung on and driven to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone to tie the game. It's a grand slam for Jared Walsh. Aroldis Chapman comes in, walks three men, and gives up a grand slam. He's going to be taken out of the game now. We're all tied at eight as the night goes on.
Oh, my.
I wish I'd had my mic open for that, Jimmy. I just cackled like you wouldn't believe when I heard the crack of that bat and Susan say, oh my.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
I hate to be this guy. Can you just find the crack of the bat there, Jimmy? Just that.
Yeah, just about any other closer. Yeah. Or any other closer.
Or any closer.
Oh, no. The 1-0. Swung on and drove it to deep right side.
Oh, man. Oh, if that doesn't get the juices flowing as a Red Sox fan. Aroldis Chapman, too. Not exactly a great person, as we know, based on his previous incident. I love watching that guy fail. Oh, and his stats in the last month, which, of course, do predate the tack. But his stats even since the tack. We may have found another one. I think we found another one, boys. Aroldis Chapman. No command, no control. That team is a complete and total dumpster fire. Oh, and I love it. I absolutely love it. You hear what Aaron Boone said last night about Aroldis Chapman? If the planet's existence is on the line, I'm going with Aroldis Chapman over everyone, even Mariano Rivera.
Oh my.
You moron. You unqualified boob. I'm actually insulted that Aaron Boone is the manager of the New York Yankees. Of course, I don't like the Yankees. Red Sox fan, all that. Literally the most prestigious and important team in North American sports, and that boob is in charge? Oh, it's a crime. It's a travesty. It's an absolute travesty. Oh, no, I'd go with Aroldis Chapman over anyone, even Mariano Rivera. If the planet's existence is on the line, I'd pick Aroldis Chapman over Mariano Rivera. You clown. You moron. The Yankees are 8.5 back in the American League East. They're done. They're cooked. See you later. And bringing it back to the Red Sox, the path is there. It's wide open. The division is in shambles. The Yankees are a disaster. Go out and take it. Go out and take it.
Matt, do you realize that, do you think Aaron Boone was watching Game 7 of the 2016 World Series where the Cubs winning the World Series was on the line?
Yep.
And he blew the save?
And he blew the game? Gave the home run up to Rajay Davis? Rajay Davis. You give up a home run in that moment. No, I'm sure he wasn't watching. Oh,
I mean, Rivera closes that game out 9 out of 10 times.
Absolutely. And the 10th time was 2004 against the Red Sox, where it was meant to be.
Well, I was in the World Series specifically, yeah, but it was a blooper by Edgar Renteria in extra innings.
No, Luis Gonzalez. You're thinking about the blooper off of Jose Mesa.
Okay.
Edgar Renteria. Craig Counsell scored 1997. Against
my fault.
No, it's okay. But you're 100% right. Game 7 against the Diamondbacks in 2001, one of the great baseball games in the history of the sport. So we're talking about good ones here, but Aaron Boone.
I'll take Rivera every day.
Of course, and anyone would on the planet. And I'm sure Aaron Boone would too, but like, how do you say that with a straight face? What a clown.
Oh, my.
That's what I'd be, if I were on that Zoom call last night, when Aaron Boone said that, that's what I would have said. Oh my. Outside of the chuckling in between.
Oh my.
Thank you for making that, John and Susan.
The 1-0. Swung on and driven to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone to tie the game.
Oh my.
Oh, that's good stuff. Oh, if you don't love that as a Red Sox fan, what a night. What a night. It's there for you, folks, because that team's a disaster. Jacob's in the car. You're up next with Matt McCarthy. Thanks for hanging on, Jacob.
Yeah, I think the Astros are the best team in the American League. And the American League may not be as strong as the National League, but there are still teams like the A's and Blue Jays who could still give the Sox issues. And we haven't seen a series against the Indians yet, so.
Hey, totally fair point. I mean, the Red Sox might not be the best team in the American League, but as you said, is there really a great team in the American League? Is there a juggernaut, a wagon that you say, well, you can't get past them? You can say, hey, McCarthy, I'd take the Astros over the Red Sox in a 7-game ALCS, and I'd say, you know what? I don't disagree with you on that. You can absolutely make that argument. Yeah, you would like to see you add a right-handed pitcher to maybe go up against that right-handed Astros lineup. Evaldi would seem really critical in that series. Ottavino probably helps you with matchups. Barnes a righty, that's good. I don't know if Taylor, you feel great about that as well as he's pitched. Hernandez, all that. You can make those arguments. That's totally real, totally legitimate. I understand where you're coming from. But the Sox are in the mix. That's the whole point. It's like, we didn't think the Sox were going to be in the mix. Who could have possibly imagined that the Red Sox would be in the mix? That you could say they could legitimately compete for the American League pennant. So that's why you need to reevaluate and readjust your expectations. I'm doing it as a Red Sox fan. I'm doing it as a talk radio host. Alex Cora is doing it. Chaim Bloom needs to do it. That's the most important thing. Jason's in Newburyport. You're up next. What's up, Jason?
How you doing, Matt? And I don't mean this about the New York Yankees, but I did not know this about you. Go Bombers. Go Blue.
That's right.
Ithaca College. They added the greatest player in the history of Ithaca College today, Tim LeCastro. I'm talking about the Yankees. Go Bombers.
Fantastic. Yes. So I can't believe in this Red Sox world and the way the offense is today in baseball, but I Tony said it earlier, but they need a contact bat. Yes. And the reason I say contact bat, if you look at their lineup, and I haven't looked at all the averages, you know, most recently, you've got a pretty beefy three to four guys in the middle of your lineup. But in this day and age of baseball, the way it is now, you've got a lot of people hitting 220, 215, and tons of strikeouts. I mean, I know that's the lay of the land, but you know, it's not DJ LeMahieu of the Yankees. Sure. I mean, he's too much of a star. But just a professional contact hitter, I think is desperately a guy we need, because these two, you know, Kike Hernandez could win you a ball game, but he could also, you know, they're so streaky. Yeah. A lot of these guys could just go completely into the dumper in the playoffs.
No, Jason, I think you're spot on with that, and thanks for the call. I mean, the stats don't necessarily bear it out. I think the Red Sox are third in the American League in batting average right now, or maybe even third in baseball. I'd have to check that out. I always get confused, you know, American League versus baseball. I think, you know, American League stats are generally more reliable when it comes to judging pitching and hitting, just because DH in the American League, DH in the National League. The point being is they're towards the top of the league, both in the American League and in baseball, when it comes to batting average. So maybe the stats don't bear that out, but I'm in complete agreement with you, Jason. I'd love to see them add a leadoff hitter type, and he doesn't have to be great, but a contact guy, somebody who's not kind of all or nothing. And it feels like Kike Hernandez is, he's not like Bobby Dalbec all or nothing, but there's still a lot of swing and miss there. He's been better as of late, you know, another home run today. Don't get me wrong, but they do need another professional hitter. There's no doubt about it. I think it comes in the form of a first baseman, corner outfield type. They do need another professional hitter. I don't know how sustainable not having a leadoff hitter is in baseball. Maybe that's like really old school of me. I love having a leadoff hitter. Maybe it's not as valued in baseball anymore as it used to be. I mean, the Red Sox haven't had a leadoff hitter all year long. They've been one of the best offenses. So you can, you know, we can have a debate as to whether or not that's sustainable. I'd say it kind of isn't, and I'd like to see them add just another professional hitter, and then, you know, you can figure things out and how you order them out. But another professional hitter, absolutely. This is what the Red Sox need at the deadline. You add a professional hitter, a first baseman, corner outfield type. You add a run-of-the-mill big league starter. You hope Chris Sale comes back, and you call up Jaron Duran. Matt's in Millbury. You've got a thought on Duran. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing? So I'm obviously from Millbury. I've been going to a lot of Wu Sox games,
sure,
being right,
yeah,
town over. And I would just like to say that Jaron Duran is by far the most ready player I've seen on both teams in five games I've been to. I mean, this guy can do it all. And the thing I like most about him is that his swing and miss numbers were up last month, but in the current month, he's channeled that down by, I believe, like 10%. And I mean, he's 24 years old. He's getting ready to play in the Olympics. So, I mean, I don't think you'll be seeing him until, like, August as well, like Chris Sale. But this is a guy that I believe they do not need to trade. I mean, this is their top prospect that, I mean, outwards of Tristan Cassius.
Yeah.
Duran, I see a little differently because he's in AAA.
Right. I mean, he's
24
the most,
years.
He's the most big league ready. And I'm sorry, Matt, we're up against it, so I got to let you go. Yeah, I mean, he's the closest prospect to the big leagues that the Red Sox have right now. It's time for them to call him up. I know he's probably going to go play for Team USA in the Olympics. If Jaron Duran is good enough for America, he's good enough for the Boston Red Sox. I don't want to overrate the kid. I think he's a big league player, but I don't think he's a superstar. So your comment line said, I wouldn't trade Duran. Well, I'm not rushing to trade Duran either, but if you're getting like a big league pitcher with term and you think this guy's going to be a number three pitcher for you for the next 3 or 4 years, well, then yes, I do make that trade because I think that helps you this year and in the future. I'm certainly not moving Duran for a rental, that's for sure. And we talk about leadoff hitter. Well, maybe he comes up and maybe he is Jacoby Ellsbury. I wouldn't count on it, but maybe he gives you that type of spark and there you go. Duran should be up. Chris Sale, a big league pitcher, and a big league bat. Those are my asks for the Red Sox by July 30th, the trading deadline. in Major League Baseball. Or Sale, you know, a couple days after that, a couple weeks after that, whatever it may be. 617-779-0985. One segment to go with you. I see a number of you on the phone lines. We'll make sure to take care of you as we lead into the night program tonight. McCarthy in for Maz on the Baseball Hour.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls. The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.